from the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today will be two of my favorite people in downtown Salt Lake City. Patrick Hubley is the artistic director for the Utah Film Center and the curator for Sundance Kids. And Elizabeth Nebaker is the executive director of the Utah Film Center. The Utah Film Center plays an incredibly important role in downtown Salt Lake City, helping to bring new experiences, new movies, new dialogue to the urban center. We'll talk today about the Sundance Film Festival, the relationship that the Utah Film Center has with Sundance, and the role of independent film in shaping Utah's urban core. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joined today by my dear friends from the Utah Film Center. Elizabeth Nebaker is the executive director, and Patrick Hubley is the artistic director, right?
That's right.
Okay. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Good morning.
Good morning. We are here today to talk all about the magical world of independent film. It's particularly relevant right now in downtown Salt Lake City with the Sundance Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about your relationship with the Utah Film Center, the relationship that you have with Sundance. Patrick, you worked for Sundance for several years.
Well, we both did, actually.
Oh, really?
Elizabeth was my first boss at Sundance, actually. So
history repeats itself.
I know. Yeah, my last festival was 2001. Okay. So Patrick and I worked together in the press office.
For 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I went on to work there a lot longer than that.
She moved on to Magic Space and other things.
Yes. Good. Broadway and touring shows is I went left for.
So back to the Film Center now.
Yeah.
How do you see Sundance impacting our community when it comes every year? Because it's a big deal for Park City, but also for Salt Lake City.
I think it's important on a lot of levels. I mean, you know, there's obviously the economic impact that it brings to the state. But, you know, I think the cultural impact is huge. I mean, we have the country's biggest and most important film festival in our backyard. And I think that that's really contributed to who we are as Utahns. And it's part of the fabric of our culture in this state. And, like, from a film perspective, I think that that's really helped us develop a strong and really vibrant film community, mm-hmm. You know, from film production to film education to film exhibition. You know, I think that we have a community here that loves film on all its fronts.
Yeah.
So I think that Sundance has been a major factor in developing that. I think that for a community our size, a city our size, you know, Salt Lake, get between Salt Lake and Park City, we're unique in the country in that sense.
Yeah. Elizabeth, agree or I'm guessing you'll agree.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I think Sundance is incredible for our state to be able to have the spotlight really from media coverage and attending the festival and, you know, a spotlight on our great state. So that to me is very exciting. And these stories, they are unlike any other opportunity to, you know, have 130 feature films, doesn't include the short films that are played for 10 days here right in our backyard, for us to be able to go down to the downtown library and see an incredible story like you and your family were able to do with Eagle Huntress
on Sunday.
You know, that to me, and have the filmmaker there and have that experience to hear the conversation around these films. That particular film took you to Mongolia, so you're seeing a culture that most people will never be able to see and be a part of. So that storytelling and those places that films can take us to and that Sundance provides for our community is incredible. And for the Film Center, you know, we're fortunate to have the great relationship with them and that community that all comes out for Sundance is able to participate on a year-round basis through the programming that we have with the Utah Film Center.
So the way I often think about it is you guys are sort of Sundance all year long, mm-hmm. for the people of Utah, not the intensity. You're not showcasing 130 films in a couple of weeks, but you have offerings every week. Great mm-hmm. stuff for the people of Utah to be able to have that independent film experience.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to describe what we do, Jason. When people ask me about the Film Center, I say we're basically a year-round film festival.
Yeah.
You know, we have one-time screenings of films. We bring directors in.
You have your own film festival.
We have our own film festivals as well,
and Damn These Heels. Yeah.
But I think, you know, with our regular programming, our weekly programming, that, you know, we're doing what a film festival does: directors, conversations, you know, curating films that people may not otherwise be aware of or know, like, or have a chance to see. You know, sometimes these are the films playing in Utah for the very first time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that that's a very apt description of what our programming is year-round.
And you guys do have, Elizabeth alluded to this, and you guys really helped to co-host, I think, the world premiere of Eagle Huntress on Sunday. You
yeah.
have a strong partnership, a strong relationship with Sundance.
Yeah.
And Patrick, you handle the Sundance Kids program
yeah.
for Sundance. So maybe talk a little bit about that sort of formal partnership and the relationship that you guys have with Sundance.
It's a partnership that we started 3 years ago, and it's really Patrick's vision. When we worked together at Sundance, he had talked about 15 years ago wanting to create a film festival for children and for youth to really share those stories with younger audiences.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the Sundance was able to provide, you know, a festival for, you know, the storytelling for, you know, more of the adult-focused grown-up festival. But, you know, there's a huge opportunity, especially in our community, with, you know, a younger audience and the appreciation of family and coming out to see, you know, different places and different stories of an independent film with your children. So that was something that Patrick really wanted to create. And, you know, he can talk to you a little bit more about that. But that partnership with the Utah Film Center and Sundance, this is our third year, and we have three films at the festival, and it's really exciting to see kids of all ages mm-hmm. in the audience, and, you know, having their festival experience. You know, my own girls coming and seeing these films is really special, and it carries on with our Tumbleweeds Film Festival, which is an annual event here right in Salt Lake.
Something we're very excited.
Yes.
We love Tumbleweeds. Well, that was it was such a great movie, and thank you for so much for providing that
yeah.
to not just to my family, but to the people of Utah to be mm-hmm, able to have right. that experience with Eagle Huntress. Patrick, maybe you can chat a little bit about the films that you're presenting at Sundance through the
yeah.
kids program. So Eagle Huntress, amazing.
Right.
As you said, Elizabeth, takes you to Mongolia, this 13-year-old, mm-hmm. really, really, maybe talk a little bit about that movie. You're the expert.
Yeah, so I mean, so our partnership revolves around us programming the Sundance Kids section. So I had the pleasure of selecting all three movies that we're showing in Sundance Kids. I watched 60 films to sort of narrow it down
yeah.
to three. Just in general terms, we're really excited about the program. I think that there's something for everybody in these, even though it's only three films. I mean, we have three films that were kind of for different age ranges. Mm-hmm. We have an animated film, a live action foreign language film, and then a documentary film, The Eagle Huntress. Excuse me. And, you know, so we're really excited about kind of the breadth of what we were able to do in three films. But The Eagle Huntress is this beautiful and wonderful documentary about a 13-year-old girl in a nomadic Kazakh tribe in Mongolia. Her tribe has a 2,000-year-old tradition of falconry, eagle hunting,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, which has been predominantly the domain of men.
Yeah.
And, you know, this young 13-year-old girl aspires to be the first eagle huntress in the tribe or
in 2,000 years, right?
So,
incredible.
You know, like the story about her breaking through gender barriers in this incredibly, you know, very traditional culture is fascinating to watch. But she is an incredibly charming, and I mean, you fall in love with her,
just
basically.
A
like
smile that lights up the whole screen.
It's
yes.
amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so much happening in this film that it's really, there's so many different layers. You know, it's, to me, it's also a film about her father
mm-hmm.
and her grandfather and her family. It's not just about her, but mm-hmm. to think about how what their part of the story is equally as compelling and interesting to me as well. So
something my wife pointed out that I thought was interesting is even though there's a little bit of disapproval from, you know, some other men maybe mm-hmm. in their culture, there's a gentleness about this film, and the cinematography is just breathtaking.
Yeah.
And And even, you know, they sort of raise their eyes and there's a little bit of, oh, a girl is doing this. But it's not the harshness that I think our culture sometimes ascribes to those gender issues where people are just adamant and no one, you know, no one threatens a lawsuit and nobody, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a really sweet, sweet story. Yeah. And we were really so fortunate to be there. And then a cool thing about this and many other movies at Sundance is the producer was there and could talk about the role.
The director,
Yeah, and then the participants.
The subjects
of the documentary,
yeah,
which is so interesting.
Yeah, so Ashel Pan and her family were there, and we had an eagle on stage as well. And so, I mean, those are festival experiences that can't be replicated.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, it's just, it's really incredible. You know, it's funny that you're, like, the little, what you mentioned, your wife. You can almost imagine sort of some of the people that were, you know, kind of the older folks that were like interviewed kind of at the end going, okay, well, she did it. Let's move on.
It was a sweet story.
Like,
yeah.
You know, they're like, this is not for girls, but then, yeah, okay, she did it. Yeah. Like, all right, now what's next?
Let's move on. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the two additional movies that you are presenting at Sundance.
Sure.
And then also talk a little bit about, in a larger sense, the role of independent film in our community and the changes that you see independent film creating for the people of Utah with the Utah Film Center. So we'll be right back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. This is a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Joining me today, Patrick Hubley. Patrick is the artistic director for the Utah Film Center, and my friend, Elizabeth Nebaker. Elizabeth is the executive director for the Utah Film Center. We're talking all about independent film today, in large part because Salt Lake Downtown is a host for many, many Sundance movies, and you guys are directly involved in helping to bring this kind of experience to the people of Utah year-round, but particularly involved right now. We're talking a little bit about the kids program and a couple of additional movies that you guys have been involved with.
Yeah, so the other two films, the first is an animated film from Canada called Snowtime. This was the world premiere of the English language version of the film. The film had already been released in Canada in French. But it's a classic French-Canadian story that I grew up with. And this is an animated, that was a live-action movie, and this is a reimagining of that tale. And it's about a group of kids who, over the winter break, you know, decide to have a snowball battle. Mm-hmm. And they divide into teams, and, you know, winter fun ensues. The animation in the film is really, really well done. And what's very interesting about this one is that there are two directors on it, an animation director, and then he partnered with a live-action film director. So when you watch the film, it has a very different feel to it than most animated films. There's a very cinematic quality to it, so panning shots and tracking shots and, you know, dolly shots that you don't really see in many animated films. But this one is this tale about friendship and loss and being true to oneself and being true to your friends.
Awesome.
Snowtime.
Snowtime, okay.
And you know, we're recommending that one up for ages 5 and up. And,
okay.
You know, all of the Sundance Kids films have one more screening at the festival, but Snowtime will be released in February in theaters across the country. And then the last one is The Little Gangster, which is our live-action foreign language film. It's this hilarious film from the Netherlands, and this is the North American premiere. You know, I honestly have not seen I haven't been in a movie in a long time where I've heard like such, like, I mean, people were like laughing almost the whole movie.
Wow.
It was fantastic. It played so well. But it's this, you know, it's also a story with some deep themes that, you know, deals with bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a young, you know, I'd probably say a 12-year-old boy and his father who are both kind of bullied, who, you know, because of the father's job situation, moved to a new town. And the boy decides he wants to reinvent himself and his family. And he uses a New York mafia movie to inspire his new family character. So, you know, great sort of send-ups of mafia movies and the classic lines. But, you know, you can see a real through line with this film to films like great live action films from the 80s, like Goonies and, you know, all those films that, you know, I grew up with as a kid. And you can see though that sensibility in this film. And it's really fun.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the role of curation in selecting these things. So you, as you said, screened 60 movies, selected three. Elizabeth, your organization plays a real role in curation. There's a limit to the number of independent movies that are produced.
Sure.
But you guys are in the industry. You're actively selecting, making choices about films that you think will resonate with Utah audience. Mm-hmm. And that underscores your mission as an organization. Can you talk a little bit about that role that you play in helping to think thoughtfully? I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but you're thoughtful about the movies that you select and how, what you present to the community.
So our curated programming, which is the films that we have, you know, for example, every Tuesday night at the Downtown Library. Uh-huh. But that goes beyond just downtown and Salt Lake. It's actually throughout the state from Ogden down to Moab, West Jordan. So Patrick handles that curated programming. And, you know, what's incredible is that the number of films that are out there, with Sundance having 130, and there are, you know, films beyond just this festival that we want to be able to share with our audiences. We want to bring these stories to, you know, Utah audiences to, you know, either take them to different places, as I mentioned earlier with the Eagle Huntress, or, you know, introduce them to new issues that, you know, like a film called Sonita, which is playing at Sundance and is a film that we actually already have booked at the end of February here at Downtown Salt Lake, which is this young Afghan girl who flees Afghanistan and is actually in our backyard at Wasatch Academy here locally.
Oh, wow.
And she's a rapper and she's an incredible woman. I mean, the strength of this girl that she, you know, is determined to make a change and not only affects her and what women in those countries, as far as, you know, they are not allowed to sing.
Right.
And so she...
Let alone rap.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So these stories that, you know, can inspire people, that take them to different places, new ideas, that's really important in our programming here locally with audiences. Our films, we do, you know, 250 free films throughout the state each year, and that doesn't include our festival films with around Damn These Heels, the LGBT Film Festival, and Tumbleweeds. And those are ticketed, sold tickets, but, you know, it's important to be able to, you know, select these films. And Patrick has, you know, great relationships with his work, you know, with Sundance before, with Toronto, to, you know, bring and to have, you know the directors, know the producers. Gerilyn Dreyfuss, who is, you know, founder of the organization's one of the founders, is an independent documentary film producer. So she again introduces us to films and relationships, and so that, you know, we're fortunate to have those relationships. But, you know, it's being able to understand, you know, relevant stories, topics, films that, you know, people can't find, you know, on their own. Or maybe they, you know, they are on Netflix, but
you wouldn't know to look.
You wouldn't know to look. And so to have a trusted, you know, organization like the Utah Film Center to provide this curated programming, you know, headed by Patrick, I feel like are very fortunate to have that right here in Salt
Lake.
You're
kind of the community film sommelier. Like, you really are out there making recommendations.
Like,
no, but that's true, because I love film, but that's not my full-time job.
Right.
And so having a partner or an organization that you trust that says, we think this is relevant, we think this is interesting, you're not going to waste your time by coming to one of these movies. That's really helpful.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of stuff out there that maybe I wouldn't want to spend my time on. But if you guys sort of put your stamp of approval on it, I know that it's going to be worthwhile for me or for my family to have that experience and learn something new. And really, and Eagle Huntress was such a classic example of that, such a great experience. What do you hope 5 years from now, if you fulfill your mission, how has our community changed? How is our community shaped because of the power of film as a result of the work that you are doing on a daily basis, year round, throughout the larger community?
That's a big question.
Big. Yeah.
You know, I personally, like, you know, just my initial reaction is that, you know, I think that I think of Utah as we have a pretty we have a pretty wide understanding of the world just because of, for a lot of reasons, a lot of people, you know, like, you know, have moved to Utah mm-hmm. from other places. You know, the with all the missionary work the
Mormon
church
missionary
does,
work,
you know,
yeah.
that are experiencing other cultures and going like, you know, around the world. You know, there's this really interesting dynamic here as far as what the global place is. You know, there's a lot of like small nonprofits in this community that are mm-hmm. doing humanitarian work mm-hmm. on a lot of different, which is, I think, I don't know for sure, but I would guess that we're probably have like a lot more nonprofits that are doing stuff in other
like
countries
per capita yeah,
than other communities. But I think that what we just like what we're hoping is that we're complementing or mm-hmm. you know adding another layer of information for those organizations to create a, you know, I want to use the word empathy, but that's not really what it is. It's just like highlighting awareness. Like there's so many
yeah.
stories.
I would say awareness, yeah. yeah. And to be a, you know, compassionate, I think of, you know, those new ideas and, you know, whether it's a social issue or, you know, a person that's, you know, with autism that's succeeding in a different way, to be mm-hmm. able to see those stories, I think having a compassionate community that is aware of different issues and our relationships with community partners, because film does provide that education, that mm-hmm. that easy way to and very accessible way to reach large audiences with these stories. So, you know, I hope that, you know, the Film Center in 5 years is continuing to create and, you know, bring those ideas and stories and have those important conversations that film and like any, you know, good art form really can spark, you know,
that dialogue.
And I think that's what we are able to do here at the Utah Film Center.
You clearly are. You're making a huge difference. I know for me personally, for my family, and for our larger community. So thanks for your work. It's really incredible. And we are so happy to have you guys as partners to see the great stuff that you're doing for our community.
Great. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.